Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndall and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, sometimes living this Catholic life seems to be a dream at times, but it also seems to go awfully doggone fast. I can remember sitting here the first time at the microphone. That seems like forever ago, but that was just a couple years ago. But what's more important is I remember, and maybe some of you listening remember this, a first CAFA conference, which was held 10 years ago, and I cannot believe I am sitting here with my brothers this morning for our 10th anniversary of the CAFA conference and building a legacy. And this has really becomes such an important part of our lives, and I want to welcome my brothers here today. I have Dr. David Denbraver. Thanks for being here, David.
Well, it's a privilege.
And we've got Mike Ingram. Mike, thanks for being here. And Tony Buchek. Thanks for being here, Tony.
A privilege.
You know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? 10 years has gone by on this conference.
Unbelievable.
And I think only two of us were at the original one. David, you and I,
right,
were at the first one. Can you think?
I don't know if I can remember that far back.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes,
I mean, we had our trepidations thinking, well, maybe it'll be a year or two and we'll get this through. But the Lord has been so gracious. And I tell you what, this conference would not be possible without men like you. It would just absolutely be impossible because what goes on behind the scenes is incredible. And I hope that men can appreciate all the effort that this group puts on because it really is a gift from the Lord. And I don't think any of us here ever look back with any regrets. It's just been a wonderful time. So thank you all for doing this. This is a power. And we're here early in the morning to make sure that the men in the Diocese of Grand Rapids and even in the Kalamazoo Diocese, because it'll go out to Kalamazoo and Battle Creek, we're going to invite all of our brothers into this conference because we have a powerful lineup this year. But, you know, I would like to start this out just a little bit differently because, you know, we all sit here at CAFA, and I'm sure many of the men who come to the CAFA conference think we're just osmosis. We just kind of went into this because we've been always the staunch Catholic men. But, you know, our lives have been transformed also by this conference. But, you know, I'd like to just ask you maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Give me a synopsis of what in your life, what brought you to the Lord, and why is this conference so important to you? David, can I start with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, I do appreciate you too, Deacon Jim, for all of your effort and everything that you've done for the conference. You're just such an important piece, and I think just everybody involved in this is just giving back to what the Lord has given them, and I mean, just in little ways. So it's just such a blessing being with you guys. But I would say in the past who would have never wanted to help out with anything like this, but if you asked me to maybe help out at a football camp or a basketball or a baseball camp or go play sports or go hang out with friends and maybe hang out with some young ladies, I would be a guy who would be all about that. So I was just a typical West Side Grand Rapids guy, went to West Catholic and played a ton of sports. Had a mom and dad who loved me a lot and have 2 older sisters and a younger brother. So we were...
You know, David, I want to just toot your horn a little bit, too. You also were in the training camp for the Dallas Cowboys, correct?
I was,
as a quarterback. So, I mean, you've had an experience of really the life in sports.
Yeah, and I think that's whatever kind of gifts that God gives you, and sometimes you use them properly for His glory, and a lot of times in my case, I was using them to kind of glorify myself, advance myself, and however way I thought I should go. And so I went to church every Sunday with my mom. She had to drag me out of bed to go. My dad was a convert from another denomination and came into the church because he wanted. My mom was a Polish West Side beautiful woman that he said, "I'd like to marry you." And Marianne said, "I'll only really marry you if you become Catholic." And he says, "Baby, whatever it takes." So he converted, and he was kind of, I would say, tepid in his walk for a while. Just kind of did it for different reasons. But so anyway, that's kind of the crucible that I grew up in. Going to Mass, didn't really get much out of it. Didn't pay attention, but didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And then slowly through just the course of events in my life, and then like you talked about, sports became my God. But I was a nice person, good guy. People thought, hey, they respected me. But I couldn't love deeply. I had I was shallow in my relationships. I was very conditional, and I was just challenged by men like we're going to hear at the conference, men like I'm looking at this morning, looking at you guys, that challenged me, said there's more to life, and you could be something different than you are. You're more than an A in organic chemistry. You're more than a football player. You're more than just an American male who just, you know, grab your bootstraps and lift them up and say, let's move on. You can cooperate with grace. You can love the Lord. You can love Our Lady. And at first I told him that's not something I'm too interested in. But over time, the Lord chipped away at my heart. And just, I went on a retreat. One of my professors sponsored me. And I had a pretty profound conversion and relationship with the Lord. I just asked him, I said, God, if you're real, I'd like to know you.
Yeah.
And he came powerfully into my heart and just transformed my life and everything. So
it's a wonderful story. What has the K for, not only the K for conscious self, but what has it done for you interiorly being a part of it?
Several things, but I think the main thing that what happened to me after that retreat experience when I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, if you're real, I'd love to be your hands and feet, whatever that means. I was just throwing out language that I heard, you know, over the years. Like I was making stuff up. I want to be your hands and feet because I heard that somewhere and it sounded cool. I didn't even know what that meant. So I went to see my pastor and I said, I would like to do something. Like something happened to me. I think I need to like give back because I'm experiencing so much love and mercy. And he says, well, go and pray and wait. And so I went and I just prayed and I didn't really know what that meant.
How do I see you waiting too long?
How do I pray? Like, do I do it like 4,000 Our Fathers?
Put your hands together.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I prayed, but I didn't really know how. I didn't really have a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship with God, I mean, I don't even know how to really talk to him. But that was cool because you just start. Say, God, I don't even know how to talk to you. Can you teach me? So that was cool when he said, go pray and wait. I started to learn how to pray a little bit. And I'm waiting. I'm not a very patient person. And then, like, thanks a lot, Mike. And so slowly as I started to get involved in things, CAFA, the men's conference, was just something that the Lord kind of brought into my life. And then I saw that I could be around other men that had a desire to be involved in ministry and maybe possibly being a help to bring other men to a relationship with the Lord and in His grace. I said that what a privilege to do that and fun and exciting and get to hang around with guys like you. So it was just basically a response to grace in overtime that I have to do something. I mean, I'm called to give back. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect, you know, thing for me and an outlet to say, you know, I think I can throw my mind and my energy into this.
And your talents.
Yeah, and my talents. Yeah. And it's a good thing. And so that's how I got involved. Basically an invitation from the Lord through men.
And you kind of just reiterated Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be brave, stout-hearted, and courageous, and wait on the Lord. And that's what you were told to do. And obviously came to fruition in your life, David.
Mm-hmm.
So praise be to God for that.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, wonderful. Michael.
Yes, sir.
Over there. You're sitting there looking at David and giving him that sign of prayer. That's wonderful. You, cradle Catholic.
No.
Oh, no.
I've been through this before. I was baptized Presbyterian. And I would say we moved into the house my parents just moved out of after 42 years. We moved from there. We moved to this house and we just stopped going to church. There was no church involved in my life until I met my wife. Well, actually, I should say that in college, and I look back at this too, and I just see the hand of the Lord just has been there the whole time. And it's like, oh, I get it. You never did give up on me, did you? In college, I was in a video production class, and one of our things we did every week was Sunday Mass. So I operated camera to Sunday Mass. Mm, I mean, I wasn't religious, or I shouldn't say, you know, Catholic Church meant nothing to me at that point.
Right.
But just looking back at it now, it's like, you know, he kind of got me in there that way. And then met my wife at school, and her family, her mom and dad are just fantastic. Just really devout Catholics, and just so full of joy. But even then, you know, another little foot inside the church, a little bit there for a while, dating, getting married. And then my son comes along, and it's like, well, you know, I probably should do the Catholic thing. You know, I should get involved in the Catholic Church if we're going to raise him Catholic and all this other stuff. So came into the church, same time my son was baptized. That's cool. You know, let's go to church on Sunday. Do we got to go to church on Sunday? Can we just stay at home and read the Bible or something? That would be good, wouldn't it? That's okay.
Chance they're going to do that too, right?
Well, I'm sure we might have, maybe could have. So a little bit of that, and just kind of hanging on the fringes there and going and getting communion. Okay, let's get going. Let's get going home, you know, now, because let's get the kids out of there. We got the kids. We got to get the kids going. And then actually, David's family's played a role in our faith formation too. Your brother Michael, they went to St. Al's. Where I go to St. Al's. Mm-hmm. They were going to St. Al's at the time, and we got to know them. They didn't live too far away. And he's like, hey, you want to go to this retreat this weekend? It's like, no. I mean, I didn't say that to him, but it's like, really? Oh, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, when is it? Well, you know, we get there on Friday. It's all weekend. It's like, oh, man, you know, all weekend? Seriously? I'm going to have to come in on a Friday. I'm going to have to get off work. I got to miss my son's game. I do not miss my son's baseball games. Mm-hmm. So I got to miss my son's baseball game on Saturday. God darn it. So I did it. I went, and wham, you know, gotcha. Holy Spirit just kicked me right in the, and, you know, and I, that's all that I can explain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't say like it was necessarily a gradual thing. Like I said, there, he's always been there, and it's always been kind of acknowledgement of like, oh yeah, you know, there's a God, and yes, I really like this God. He's pretty cool, and yep. you know, but up until that point, and then from there, it was like I started going to daily Mass, I think the Monday after we got back. And for the most, obviously, I haven't made it every day since then, but, you know, that's part of my routine now, the daily Mass. And your brother Michael was sponsored my son in confirmation, and your niece Jenna sponsored my daughter in confirmation, too. His family's fantastic.
Now I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Praise be to God.
Oh, my goodness. Your mom and
praise
your
be to God.
Boy, boy.
So, but let me ask this, Michael. How long, you know, it seems like forever since the beginning. How long have you been with us for KFOM?
I'm horrible with time, but I'm trying to think. I can't really remember. It's 5-6 years.
Yeah, I would say at least
something
that.
Something like that.
At least that. What inspired you to join our group?
Well, John Olick said, hey, you want to come and check this, join this group on Thursday night? And, excuse me. So yeah, you're always looking for that, you know, and like David said too. I mean, you have to have that. You have to have like-minded people, or especially nowadays, you have to have that like-minded. And while I can say like, well, I'm here to do, you know, the Lord's work, which I am, and you know, I want to, you know, blah 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 blah. It's like, you know, I'm doing this for me too. I mean, yeah. I'm doing this for me too, as part of as you meant an example for me. For me to strive for that, for me to become a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better person at my workplace, that challenge, to challenge me, because, I mean, you have to have that challenge. You can't be like, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good here, so now it's, hey, you know, I'm going to make some other people pretty good Catholics, too. You know, it's like, man, I'm working on myself here, too. But this is a fantastic way for me to live out my faith and to grow deeper in my faith. And to, you know, and however, you know, however he wants to use me, go right ahead. And that's the one thing too. You talk about doing different things. It's like going to that weekend retreat. No, I mean, that's what I would, that's what I would normally say. It's like, no, I'd really rather, but it's like, look, whatever, you know, Lord, ask, you know, so if somebody asks me, it's like, sure, you know.
Moved by God through grace.
Right. And, you know, just like on a theme for our Building a Legacy 2015, do whatever he tells you.
Yeah.
You know, our mother is so faithful, and that's, and what another fantastic example for
us. Exactly. You know, I'm going to turn to Tony here in a minute, but, you know, I'm listening to this, and David, you can probably respond to this as easily as anybody, but, you know, we men, particularly men, we need measurable results. And that's really how we operate. And I'm thinking about this, and what we're talking about is measurable results in our lives. We're looking back and saying, I was here, and now I'm here. And I think we all say, you know, and this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And so we have these measurable results that really kind of kick us in the rear end and keep us going, because we all fall short of the glory of God. And I know I got a long way to go to get where I want to be. But, you know, we continue to look at our results, not as aren't I great, but isn't the Lord great, mm-hmm. that he brings us to this different level in our lives that we never thought possible? I know for me, that is the truth. I mean, I fall on my knees every time at the altar as a deacon going, Lord, how did I get here? Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Of all people, you know, so it's just really, it's a result that you just never anticipate. So my brother Tony.
Okay, I was born into a Catholic family, baptized Catholic. My mom and dad were very involved in the church, doing things. My mom was very religious, but my dad was there. He is, you know, in the background, just do things, you know. My grandma and grandpa were very, very profound, very involved in the church. But I, you know, as I got into high school, went to West Catholic grad from 1980. You know, I was there. I'd go to Mass mainly to please my mom.
Right.
Because I knew she would feel bad if I didn't go.
Good boy.
But there was always something there, though, you know, because I'd go, and I knew there was something there regardless. You know, I knew I was trying to please my mom, but I could still feel something there, but I didn't know what it was. And then after my mom passed away in 2002, for a little bit there, I was just taking up pew space.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was there, but nothing was happening. I mean, it's like, okay, I know I got to go. I don't know why I need to go, but I need to go.
But I'm Catholic, and therefore I go.
So I would go. And then it came about to the point where we switched to from St. Robert's to St. Thomas for Justin could go to St. Thomas, mm-hmm. the Apostle School. Well, at that point, I started to hear homilies from Father Jim Shelich and from you, Deacon Jim. You two were very big in a change in my life. It just, things started to click, and it was that grace there that, wow, there's other stuff than just myself in this world. I really need to look at this. And then what really came down and happened was that one of the masses, I heard they announced the CAFA thing that mm-hmm. you guys were doing. I'm thinking, and you were one of the speakers. I think it was either the second or third one.
Yep.
I'm thinking, oh, I like the way this guy's homilies are. Maybe I should go just check this out for the heck of it. And it was on like the day before that I heard about it. And I thought, okay, I'll just go the next day. Went and loved it. Just completely changed my life. Started, I didn't get involved that year. Knew there was something more. I wanted a men's group or something. I needed to tie into something else. I hadn't found that at that time yet.
Right.
So the next year, I went to the next conference and said, well, maybe what I need to do is get involved. And then I got involved with you guys, and ever since, and have been on board.
Thanks be to God.
Originally, though, it was more for me because, as I said, I was looking for a men's thing or some. I needed guys like you around me to help me grow in Christ. And I wasn't getting that without men like you. So that was my first. To me, it was all personal and, you know, more selfish on my end is why I want to get involved because of that. But since then, I've grown and seen guys I work with and stuff that I've had come to this conference and how it's changed their lives that I've invited them. And I'm just like, man, what a blessing that's been.
You know, and Tony, you hit it so well, because the fallacy is that men think sometimes they can do it on their own. And they don't think they need any support group or anything else. And what happens is they fall back into their old ways because they're not being accountable to anybody. I don't know about you guys, but I have people that I'm accountable to, and I think we all need that. But I think we all hold ourselves accountable at CAFA, too. I mean, we have jobs to do. I don't do mine so well, but we have jobs to do. But, you know, it's really a litany of things that we take care of responsibly and toward one another, and we show that respect to one another. I don't think I could have really grown like this in the Lord without you guys. because I've learned from you men how to be charitable, how to cooperate with grace, and how to really live a life with other men and respect other people's opinions, because that's important in our group, because we have difference of opinions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about measurable results and the effects of something. And so it just goes to what Tony was saying and Mike was saying and what you're talking about, that alone, so by myself, after this kind of reversion or a deepening in a relationship with a God, I was by myself for a while. And it was like a snail's pace. And a snail's pace is a bad snail's all right. And
going forward.
Yeah, you're going forward, I guess. Or sometimes you're prey, though. You're P-R-E-Y. Yeah, for the enemy when you're so slow, man, because things like to eat snails.
That's
and
right.
I think, right, in the big chain of things? All right, whatever.
Sure. But anyway. Okay, absolutely. I don't like snails. Too slimy.
Yeah. So anyway.
Isn't that escargot, by the way?
Yeah, escargot. And then, so what you're saying is right on the money. By myself, you know, you're okay. But then when you, and so I can remember, I can contrast this. By myself, boy, it was just a struggle to pray. There's no accountability to live a virtuous life, to grow in grace, to learn what it means to sacrifice. So I can try to create this world by myself through my own personal prayer life, and those are good things. Then all of a sudden you surround yourself with men who are really serious about a task, about a serious prayer life, and you start to hold each other accountable for that. Yeah. You get involved in something like this. So talk about measurable results. All of a sudden you go from, and I've got so far to go, but I've gone from a snail to maybe, am I kind of,
turtle,
an otter?
A turtle.
I was thinking of an otter.
You got to get
because I'm building something in it.
We got to get you out of your shell.
Oh boy! Wow!
Yes.
Anyway,
cape of comedy. Here we go.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that made sense.
No, it does make sense.
I mean, you got it's somebody straight, you know, just like anything, I guess, animalistic, if you will, straight from the pack, you're going to get picked off. You know what I mean? Yeah. And as much as the world today is going to tell you, like, well, there's really no devil or no whatever like that, there is, man. And he sees you snailing along there, and he's like, whoa, easy pickings. Boom. You know, hey, it's not such a great deal. You know, why don't you come back to, you know, it was more fun when you were, you know.
That's right.
So, yeah. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's right. Hanging in the pack, right?
Right, right. Exactly. Right.
You know, David, and we always say this too, you don't know what you don't know. So all of a sudden you get with men and you realize, I never knew this. I didn't know men acted this way. Yeah. I mean, you see, you take it in, again, you were enveloped in the sports world, and I know there was good Christian men in the sports world, but like anything else in our culture, the predominance would not be showing that type of Christian attitude.
No.
And, you don't know what you don't know. So when you get involved with men who like sports and love the Lord, wow, what a dynamics that is.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to talk about that for a KFOR conference here pretty soon. But, you know, it's important that the listeners get to know. And, you know, let's name off the other guys in our group, too. We've got Dave Flickinger. Throw them up for me, guys.
John Olick. Kurt Street.
Kurt Street, yep.
Todd Oatley. Andrew Mountjoy.
Yes. Yes.
I think I'm missing somebody yet, aren't we?
So far, so good. I think there's nine of us. I think we got all nine of us there. And it's been, you know, when we invite men, anybody who's listening, over the course of time, if you have a heart for this KFOR conference and you think there's something that you want to help participate in, we would always welcome the help in the KFOR conference, because it's important, because we can't do it alone. Nine men, believe it or not, are spread pretty thin when you're talking about the Diocese of Grand Rapids. And most of us work full time. Or some of us do, and we you know, we really work hard to make this conference work. But again, we need your help on that. So if you're listening, prayerfully consider if there's something you can do to help us on this too. But
yeah, nothing major.
That's
either.
Right.
It's not, you know, you don't have to be in charge of anything. That just you know, a little help, just a little help.
Maybe at your parish, just at your parish.
Right. Just a little help.
Use your help at the parish to kind of promote the word about the KFOR conference. You know, we've grown, and I think it's a testimony to not only our fidelity to the Lord, but the Lord's fidelity to us.
Yes.
Because we started out maybe with 60 or 70 guys at St. Joe's Seminary that first year. And, you know, guys, we're looking to, hopefully with our lineup this year, we're looking for anywhere from 12 to 1,500 men. And we would just love to bust the seams over there at West Catholic High School because we really have a great lineup. But not only do we have a great lineup, the Lord's got something in store for you that you can never imagine. We could sit around this table and tell stories all day long about conversions and the power of the conference, but you have to be there to really understand what it means to have that. But, you know, let's first of all, I want to say this is Deacon Jim Thorndale. You're listening to Holy Family Radio. This is 1140 AM Grand Rapids, 91.5 Kalamazoo, and 89.7 Battle Creek. I'm here with my CAFA brothers. We're going to be coming into our 10th anniversary of our conference of Building a Legacy. And this year's conference title is, somebody tell me?
Do whatever he tells you.
And we really,
I thought we'd maybe do that together. Can we try that again? What's the theme of the conference?
Here we go.
Do whatever he tells you.
We're taking that right from our Blessed Mother. And isn't that a wonderful thing that she had the confidence in the Lord to say, do whatever he tells you. Of course, I thought of the wedding of Cana. But we really have a powerful infinity towards our mother. And she really blesses this conference. She puts her mantle over us and keeps us in her graces. But let's talk about the conference because that's really what we're here for. And we're really, and first of all, let me tell you this. My journey too also has never been always a faithful Catholic. I had my dad and my mom, I tell the story. My mom was Greek Orthodox and my dad was Roman Catholic. I'm going to tell you something. The wisdom of the church is trying to be equally yoked in a marriage. And I can see why, because there was a lot of contention in my home between those two faiths. Back then, it probably wasn't as close as it should have been. And there's always this, we walked on eggshells at times about who was going to go where and which church. You know, and that's not how the Lord intended it.
No.
And so you never get really catechized and informed. And my relationship with my dad was probably tepid at best. He was a man that went to church, but he saw it more as entertainment. It was a time for a social hour with the people there. So you never really got into that understanding of the church. But my life went on, a lot of good joys and some tragedies. But, David, it's so powerful because I remember a tragedy in my life, and I went to my bedroom, and I fell on my knees, and I remember Psalm 27, be brave, stout-hearted, and courageous, wait on the Lord. Father Charles Anacard told me to do that. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to make any decisions in my life without you anymore. I'm just not going to do it because I'm not doing so well without you. And, you know, there was a transformation in my life, too. And, you know, through that time, I really started to listen to radio, not Catholic radio, just Christian radio, started to get some message. Yep. And the more I listened, the more I'm finding myself refuting what they're saying on the radio, not because I didn't love my Christian brothers on the radio, but I'm going, that doesn't smack of my Catholicism. So, you know, I started to dig into reading, and I started to dig into educating myself. And the more I did that, the more I found out, I'm Catholic. And I love my Catholicism. Of course, then the Lord started calling me to diaconate, and I fought him tooth and nail on that. But he won. And then, it's funny how I see the Lord. I'm not, and I say this in all honesty, I'm not a warm and fuzzy towards my prayer. I'm more academic and head thinking of Lord, and that's how I approach God. But you know,
I would agree. I'll agree with you.
Yeah, that's just how I see. And I see God. I see God in humor. He teaches me that, but you know, I really know God exists. I know His Son is the incarnate Jesus that came out on earth, and so my struggle sometimes is to be more touchy feely, but that's not how the Lord made me, and so it's the reality of my life as my journey with the Lord. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
But you never know what you never know what He has in store. Maybe next year you're going to be one of these huggy guys here.
Yeah. But you know, I am a Greek man, so I do hug and kiss and all that. I mean, I have no problem with doing that. But I approach faith in a little different way, and that's where the Lord has brought me to. But thanks be to God for you guys, because you know I see all different walks of life in here, and that's why this conference is so important, because we bring men from all different dynamics in their life, from all different places. Nobody's at the same place at the same time. Everything's a journey, and I'm learning that more and more. I think, you know, you guys know I studied to be a spiritual director. And the one thing that was so important realizing is everybody's at a different place on their journey. Right. And you could never say, you should be here, or you should be here, or you should be here. No, it's really God's timing. And so what really looking at is we bring men in at all different places in their journey. We have no idea where they're at, but we hear some powerful stories. We hear some, the priest tells, they never hear more powerful confessions than when they come to this conference here. So let's talk about the conference because we've got time now.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that's one of the things like with the conference too. And we've got, what, three speakers this year, and each of the speakers brings a different dynamic too. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year with Father Larry and Teresa Tomeo, they certainly were not, like in their presentations by any means, you know. So I think there's, you know, at all different levels. And this year, you know, we got Philip Rivers, a pro football quarterback who's not a pro football quarterback who happens to be Catholic. He's a Catholic who happens to be a pro football quarterback. And Father Leo, who just is pretty
Leo Padalinghar,
a little bit of everything.
Yes.
You know, he's fantastic. Yeah. And then you're going to have Trent Horn, who is more of an apologetics edge to it. But boy, oh boy, he knows his stuff, and he's just so down to earth with his stuff, too. It's not you know, real. So, I mean, I think it just brings something, you know, I know something for everybody, but it is. There's something for everybody, you know, wherever you're at in your walk, whether you've been doing this for a while, you know. So I just, in the past conferences, too, I think you just see that there's so many different dynamics.
Yeah. Dr. David, you have an affinity to football. So, you know, we're bringing in Philip Rivers here, of course, plays for the San Diego Chargers. We're kind of hoping, I was looking to watch that last game. I was kind of hoping they go a little bit farther than that playoff, but that wasn't to be. But he's going to be a dynamic speaker for us.
He absolutely is. And Mike is right. He is a Catholic guy who plays football, and he is a devoted husband and father. And just a very generous man, and they have a foundation that's called Rivers of Hope, the Rivers of Hope Foundation, to help abandon orphan children, abandon and orphan children. So I mean, they give just tons of money to that organization and to their foundation that they do. They have big fundraisers, and so this is a man's man. But really a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
And to see his wife, Tiffany, talk about him, you know, I've watched some YouTubes on Phil, just to get a kind of a feel for, you know, what makes this guy tick. Because, I mean, this guy's 6'5", 230, mm-hmm. and he takes shots. I mean, this is a QB who stands in the face of a pretty ornery defense week in and week out. And the NFL is just insanely fast and strong, ferocious. And here's Philip Rivers standing in there and waits for his receivers to get open. And you know, he doesn't leave the pocket because he's not the best runner. Sorry, Philip.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but the guy is
he
doesn't flinch in the face of that. I mean, talk about what a cool spiritual like symbol and sign of standing against the enemy in the pocket, waiting to deliver a ball. I mean, so whatever the gospel to another one of his brothers, and then he dumps it off to them. They race down 70 yards, touchdown. The fans are happy. I mean, sport. In spirit, I mean, God gifted men and women, young and old, in this way to bring glory to him. So you can bring glory to yourself or bring glory to God. And I tell you, when Philip walks out on that field and makes the sign of the cross, that first
series, it's
incredible. And just, he's a very humble man. I mean, he's on the field, man. The guy is just really intense.
He's not lying down like, nice hit. He's yapping.
He's bring it, man.
You know, another point too, David, if he doesn't make this Tepa sign of the cross, you know he's making the sign of the cross
when he makes it.
He makes it with fidelity. He really does.
He does.
Yeah, so you know exactly. That's a Catholic man right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks be to God.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, Tiffany, so here's a guy married his high school sweetheart. They have 7 children. Wow. I mean, I first saw Philip. This is so funny. I saw him on like a CCF, like a natural family planning magazine that we get. I never thought I'd get like that at my house. But anyway, so natural family planning, you know, 101 or whatever. So here's Philip with Tiffany. and all of his kids. And I looked at that guy, and he's just, he's a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
His wife is just so gracious and humble and just beautiful. And then all their kids. And I said, man, what a guy. I started reading the article about him and his commitment to our Lord, our Lady. He loves the Blessed, mm-hmm. Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
And he loves his wife with a, just as tenacious as he wants to win and win for the Chargers. He is like tenacious for his family. I mean, what an awesome opportunity to bring a guy like that in. I mean, it's just an absolute shower of God's grace and blessing to be able to have him come. You know, I think we're all very humbled by that. Absolutely. And we're very excited, though, for the guys in our community to hear him speak.
So, men, if you're listening right now and you've got sons who love sports, here's an opportunity to meet one of the headliners, Philip Rivers. Not that we glorify him, but we glorify God through him.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
really have an understanding of, you know, this is really one of God's instruments. So take an opportunity. This is the time to come and meet him, get his autograph. It'll be a wonderful time for your sons, and it'll be a time for you, excuse me, to connect with your son, to get to know your son in a little deeper way. So we're encouraging you to come over and see it. Take a chance on KFA March 14th. At West Catholic High School, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Got it. Correct.
Tony.
8 to 3:30.
What do you think about Father Leo coming?
Father Leo is pretty cool. I didn't know a whole lot about him until we started looking at him to come in and started watching him on Grace Before Meals and some of his YouTube stuff. He's a pretty intense guy, too. Martial arts guy. Beat Bobby Flay in a throwdown. So obviously he's obviously a darn good cook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And I happened to actually catch a EWTN homily of his the other day. It was just awesome. You know, mm-hmm. five minute little homilette thing. It was just incredible.
He does something too about the spirituality of food, I know, too.
Grace Before Meals.
Yeah, he talks about that. A wonderful thing.
Back to family meals type thing. He ties it all back to that.
You're gonna hear some of that at our KFA conference, too, because Father, he won't be remiss in talking about that, because it's important for, you know, how important you think about that. We take it for granted that we eat. But how important is it if we gather as a family when we eat, because that really, really brings us together. That might be the one time you get together with your family during the day, and you can and kind of relive the day and really talk about the Lord and be graced with your children around the table. I can't think of anything better than that.
Father Leo says this in his Grace Before Meals, this whole movement. He says, in my experience, this is Father Leo Padalinkug. He says, in my experience, nothing creates a better environment for a great conversation than time shared in the kitchen.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this guy learned to cook when he was in the SEM over in Rome. He would go and talk to the greatest Italian chefs and say, hey, I want to know something. So he has this curiosity. So that's when it really started for him. So he would show them how to make American food, and they're like, oh, you know, Father Leo or Leo. And so, but then they would give him little secrets, and so slowly he started to see the richness of gathering, preparing a meal, talking to these great chefs and finding out. And all of a sudden he's like, hey, the Lord, there's something in this that's bigger than just saying, hey, let's eat.
Then chopping onions.
Yeah. That's right. It's like, let's really eat. What are we eating? We are eating just this incredible time of being around the table, getting to know one another, honoring the Christ in one another in time spent together breaking bread. And then that totally comes right to the Eucharist. And Father Leo brings it in big. He's tremendous, tremendous man.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about that, because I think he's such a dynamic person too. Like I said, who knows what you get? You can end up with a dance off. The guy sings. He's got a great voice. He's gonna break out in song. I'm really excited about seeing him.
We got a third speaker also.
Trent
too.
Horn.
Let's talk about him a little.
Trent
bit.
Horn. Now, like I said, I think you know, I've listened to a lot of Trent Horn. Like, you know, you were talking before about the knowledge of the church and things like that. And I just eat this stuff up. I love Trent Horn. I remember watching a video of him where he'd go out on a campus, out on a college campus, with his pro-life, you know, billboards and stuff like that, basically say, hey, you got any questions for me?
Right.
And he would just debate these people and not debate them in any sort of a raised voice or anything, just logical back and forth. And these people would get so mad because he knew exactly what he was talking about. And he was right because he had the truth.
You know, Mike, I want to clarify something to some people who are listening in, and it's not because you don't have an understanding, but the word apologetic sometimes is a little bit strange to some people. Yeah. They think it's an apology. Really, it's a defense of the faith, and it's really called an apologetics, meaning that you have the truth within you, and you're able to articulate in a very profound way we believe as Catholics. And why is that important? Because if you don't have an understanding of why we do certain things, then it just becomes, you do it out of memory, rote memory, but it has no substance to it. And Trenthorn brings that substance and lets us understand there's a reason we do everything in our Catholic faith. Right. It's not just happenstance. Yep. It isn't just for decoration.
This is the truth.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. So that's what you're going to hear.
And an explanation of the truth. And he's, like I said, he's very, and he'll emphasize too that this is not, you know, you don't argue anybody into the faith.
Yeah.
You know, but when you possess the truth and you know the truth and you can explain the truth, it helps you as well as everyone around you, because you know as well as I do, you know, if you don't listen to Holy Family Radio and you listen to other certain radio stations, and hey, guess what? The Pope said all, you know, dogs and cats are going to heaven, so this is fantastic. You know, so you're not going to get it from there. So you need to know you got to know your faith.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I said, I agree with you where it's more, my faith tends to be, you know, fueled by knowledge, you know, you have to have that knowledge. You have to know why you believe what you believe other than just, I believe, especially in this world today, because you're going to be challenged, guaranteed.
You know, Mike, I was just with David Faber, the superintendent of Catholic schools, and another analyst, and I made that point, too. I said, David, I'll give you an example. If I were an optometrist and I didn't really know everything about the eye, would I be comfortable in either examining it or teaching others how to do it? Probably not.
No.
You know, or if I'm a heart surgeon and I don't really understand all the nuances of the heart, but I'm going to do heart surgery, would I be comfortable in doing it, or would I be comfortable in telling others how to do it? Probably not. So I say to this to my Catholic brothers and sisters, if you don't have a profound sense of your Catholic faith, if you can't articulate it, you're going to have a hard time bringing it to your children and to form them in the formation. That's why we have Catholic schools. That's why we have the catechism, because it's meant to help form as a community. And, you know, we have to rely on others sometimes to help us in our Catholic journey. And that's exactly what the church is there for. Not that we're delinquent or bad parents, but, you know, we spend a lot of hours. How many years you put in to become an optometrist?
Eight.
8 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've all had college here. We've all spent a lot of time in our education, but we can't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't. So, you know, the more we rely on others to help us in this area, and that's why I'm saying the head knowledge is important to defend our faith. But not everybody has the time or the inclination to do it. So, you know, we rely on one another in that respect.
Yes.
Great opportunity, though. I think if you look at Trent Horn and where he's from, Catholic Answers now, he's a convert.
Yeah.
So he's got such a gift, and like Mike was saying, to articulate the faith and defend the truth in a way that is not a criticism to someone. And he honors their dignity because he respects that. He wants dignity for all people. So, I mean, he's so pro-life that he's not going to try to beat you down with his words. His scripture that he has, if you look up Trent Horn, is always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. So, Deacon Jim, you're talking about this being prepared to give this reason for this hope.
Yeah.
And sometimes we may not have all the knowledge, because we're being formed and we can never know it all, like you said. But we can say, this is where I was.
Exactly.
This is what the Lord is doing in my life. I don't have all the answers for you, but I know where I can get them.
That's right.
Of all the resources that you talked about. And I think for if there's a family listening to this and maybe a guy who's maybe driving down the road, you just turn this on or however that works, however God works in our lives, that what an opportunity to come and sit and listen to a guy who is very versed and who is kind of a doctor with okay. under quotes. But I mean, this guy has completely immersed himself into defending truth.
Yeah.
And he has a way to articulate it. So you can actually find ways, incredible ways, as you hear him speak, of how to kind of present the faith.
That's right.
And I think that's vital as fathers, as leaders in our community, to humble ourselves. We don't have all the answers. So guess what? You have a guy who specializes in this.
That's right.
We need a specialist just like we need a cardiologist.
That's right.
We need a mind and a heart transformation to become what we're called to be, because Trent Horn's going to go back to where he lives. But Jim Thorndale, Tony Buchek, Ingram, Denbury, we're all going to be back here.
That's right.
Trent Horn's not going to be by my side when I'm in the grocery store or in the workplace or I'm wherever I am in GR, and all of a sudden I have to give a reason for the hope that's in me.
Yeah.
Well, I just listened to Trent Horn, Father Leo, Philip Rivers, and I'm being around all these men. Now I'm equipped in another way to share the faith.
That's right. You know, and there's something very edifying and gratifying as a man to be able to go to your sons or your daughters and give them an explanation for why we're doing what we're doing. Not to twist their arm, but to give them hope and to give them a firm understanding that they can have confidence in the church. And that in the church's teaching, there is a vital reason for everything we do that brings us to closer to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is really the power that we're trying to bring to the CAFA conference. And men, we're extending this invitation to you. I wish I could tell you how powerful this is, but you have to be there.
Yes.
You have to be there because you have to see the intensity of these men. You'll walk in and you'll say, oh my gosh, this guy's here. Oh, I never thought this guy would be here. You're going to see men in different walks of life that you never thought you'd see in this conference. And what's going to happen is your heart's going to start to change because the Lord is going to work on you very powerfully to say, you know what, you're here for a reason and you're here to measurable results. Kind of lift yourself up by your bootstraps and start this journey with the Lord in our Catholic faith. Tony, as you continue on this, tell us a little bit what you've seen the results of the conference.
Well, it's very profound because you see guys come in the morning, they're kind of milling around, some of them they haven't been there, don't really know what's going on. And you can just watch them light up during the day as the different talks go on. Then you see confession open up and you just see this droves of men heading to confession, mass, people are on their knees and they're just sobbing at adoration and stuff. I've seen guys in tears. It's just amazing, the transformation from a guy coming in to when you see him leave at the end of the day.
And this is one day.
Correct.
This is one day.
Yep.
Not even a full day.
Yeah, 8 to 3:30.
Yeah, it's not Friday to Sunday, Mike.
No. This is an easy one. No, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, some of the stories we've heard, too, are just like, really? I mean, you know, not that we underestimate God, which I think sometimes maybe we do, but just some of the stories are just like, wow. And, you know, and I think about, and I've always said, too, to people, you know, when I talk about when Mike Denbraber asked me to go to this thing, and I was like, yes. And it's like, maybe I said reluctantly yes, but I said yes. You know, just say yes.
Yeah.
That's all.
Because usually the guy asking you has experienced it before, experienced
right.
it, and he knows what it's like. So trust your brothers that are asking you and go.
Well, we just heard a beautiful story from our station manager, Robert Mulderink, and we're not saying any names, but one gentleman was listening last year who hadn't been in church, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's driving down, but he's having a sense that he needs to kind of rediscover his Catholic faith. And so he decides he's going to stop listening to secular radio, and he turns on Holy Family Radio. And now, we must be right in the middle of the conference at that time. And we're probably broadcasting Father Larry Richards going on, and he's starting to listen. Not only does he listen, but by the grace of God, his hands start turning that steering wheel. Where does he end up? McLeod and Mary. And he actually walks into the conference after 40 years, and it starts a regrowth in his Catholic faith. Nobody but God could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could sit here all day long and invite men, but only God can train that heart to listen and to be attentive to His word.
Just think, I mean, the guy drives in to Immaculate Heart of Mary. So this goes to our theme. That's why I'm bringing this up. So pulls in to Immaculate Heart of Mary. So Mary leads her son, this man, so he's listening to Father Larry, who is given everything to serve the church.
Yeah.
Yes. And he comes in and then basically do whatever he tells you. Mary says, now go meet my son.
That's right.
I mean, I just love it. Yeah. Like, I mean, you said, only God.
You have to just get in that car. Just say yes. Just show. I mean, it's a money back guarantee. Are we going to offer that?
Absolutely.
Money back guarantee.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't enjoy the conference, Dave Denbury will give you your money back.
That's right. That's right.
You know, in many years we've said that, we've never refunded one dime. There's not a man that's ever left here and said, boy, this is not worth my time. You know, and I think, men, we are always reluctant to try something different. You know, we get stuck in that same old, I go to church on Sunday, that's close enough. I say my prayers at night, that's close enough. You know, everything can be, because I'm telling you, I was like that, it was close enough. I go to church more than the guy down the street, so that's close enough. You know, we always kind of compare ourselves rather than look internally at ourselves and saying, no, it's not close enough. I need to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Regardless of what my neighbors are doing, I need to grow personally in the Lord so that I can help them. Mm-hmm. So, men, if you're listening, I would encourage you, if you're living a close enough Catholic life, open up your hearts to the Lord. Take a chance. I tell you what, I can only emphasize, no man has ever left there saying, I wouldn't do it again. That's why the conference rose, because they say, when's next year's?
Yep.
I just think of an analogy of, you know, in business, how many times do you want to go to seminars or whatever to make yourself better?
Yeah.
Here's that chance to better your Catholic life by going to not a seminar, basically, but to do that by one day, one Saturday morning to afternoon. Yeah.
And here's the great news. This year, we're going to feed you twice.
We just
found out we've got a hot breakfast to serve. So no more rolls, and there may be some there, but we're going to have a hot breakfast. And we're also going to have a hot lunch. So, I mean, it's just the price of the admission is going to buy you two meals. What the heck? That's a good deal right there. Plus, the dessert is what you're going to receive from the Lord.
And, too, I want to mention our incredible shepherd, who a man that I really respect and I really appreciate and love, is Bishop Volkoviak.
Oh, yes.
And his presence there this day is just so humbling to have our shepherd, our leader, coming and celebrating Mass.
Yes.
And I think that speaks to his heart. He's such a servant. And he's so humble, and so we're so thankful that he is going to be with us. And so it is just an incredible opportunity to talk about, like, a seminar or a day to, you know, become – to improve your intellect. Your heart will soar. I mean, just everything that God's made us to be as humans, all the senses, are going to be renewed and enlightened in new ways. But then Bishop Volkoviak celebrating the Eucharist, Mass – middle of the day.
Yeah.
That's the source and summit. That really is the hinge that day.
It is.
Where we receive our Lord. And then we have adoration after for a little while. I mean, it's a beautiful time during the conference.
You know, David, you struck a nerve with probably a lot of guys. Probably said, oh, I got to go to Mass too? Yeah, you're kidding me.
Go to Mass? Yes.
Yep. You'll never understand the power of that Mass until you hear 12 to 1500 singing together, praising together, glorifying God together, and really coming to this understanding that we are all one. Mm-hmm. And then we have our beautiful shepherd, Bishop Volkoviak, celebrating. Bring that Mass with us in the consecration, and just this understanding that we are part of this, our larger church, this church that is universal, and we're all celebrating this together. It's spectacular. It is spectacular as we watch this, and it brings me to tears many times when I see these men who I never would have thought would be bending the knee to the Lord, and you see this power of the Spirit working within them. Praise be to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've got great speakers. We've got Philip Rivers. We've got Trent Horn, and we've got Father Leo Paddlinghug. Guys, I tell you what, this is going to be a real adventure for you. And, you know, just as I go around the room again one more time, I want to ask each one of these guys, if you could sum up what it means to really live in the Catholic faith, but not only that, but to be in attendance in this conference and to really prayerfully consider it, what would you suggest to men to do? David?
To first, and I go back to what my pastor told me, is to pray and just wait and think about it. And that pray and wait, I mean, you know, there's 2 months before the conference, and whenever this is going to be aired, it'll be shorter than that. But just to take a little time and think about your life and say, you know, where was I? Where am I right now? And where am I going? And when you think about that, what are you doing? And when I speak to myself, to what am I doing to become a man after God's own heart? And what are my opportunities in the next few months to do that? And here I have this invitation before me to attend this conference. And I think about the people around me, my coworkers, my extended family, if I'm married, my wife, or if I'm a good friend to other people, if I have children, whatever that might look like, grandkids, godchildren, you know, the whole dynamic of being a man in this world. What can I do to be a better man? When I say better, I mean not so that we get the glory, but so I find out what am I here for? And so if you ponder that, if you wait a little bit, think about it, this day, God, I truly believe he's going to put this before you and say, you know what, take a chance on this.
Amen.
Take a chance on this, and I will not let you down because I'm so faithful. He loves you.
Yep.
He loves us. So.
Amen. Michael.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously a lot of that too. And I mean, I think it goes back to, you know, what I was saying before about saying yes to him, about seizing an opportunity. And again, who do I want to be? Who do I need to be? Who does my family need me to be? I mean, this all goes into your formation. I mean, the closer you draw to the one who loves you so much, you know, the more happy you'll be, the more content you'll be, mm-hmm. You know, and I do encourage on a basis too to go to our website, buildingalegacy.org, go to our Facebook page, Building a Legacy. You know, there's examples on there of past conferences. Mm-hmm. There's examples of, you know, the people coming up. We've put stuff on our Facebook page about, you know, maybe little clips of our speakers and stuff like that. But again, like David said, very importantly, pray about it. Mm-hmm. Just pray about it. Have that conversation with the Lord. And what does he want me to do?
Amen.
You know, that's it. What does he want me to do?
Okay.
Yeah, I like David, the word ponder. I mean, it comes to me that, you know, if Mary pondered in her heart, that's something, the prayer and pondering. Because I think of two quotes. One, Mary telling us, do whatever he tells you. Also, the Lord, when the sky opened up, this is my beloved son, listen to him. We can't do that unless we take the time out of our busy days to hear this message and hear these different things, especially from great guys that are actually living it in their lives.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I'm going to challenge men again too, because it's one of the problems in our church today, and not just in our church, but in the world. You know, men, if your relationship with your wife isn't where you want it to be, if your marriage seems to be faltering, there's a reason. If your relationship with your children isn't where it should be, there's a reason. And it really goes back to our hearts as fathers and husbands. And if we can somehow get rid of all the trappings of the world and really come to an understanding that Christ wants our relationship to be the spousal relationship, not only with him, but with our brides, with our children, to have this profound understanding of how we love as Christ loves. You know, that's one thing you're going to glean from this conference is, I think, how to love deeply, how to love better, how to really take away all the problems of the world. You know, we all have jobs and you know, many times we can be labored by all the stuff that comes on in our life in the world, and we don't take time to be with the Lord. And I think if you can just spare this one day to really have an understanding what it means to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in faithfulness, what it means to be a man in a world that, the secular world that wants to steal you away, It wants to do everything it can to tell you that you have to conform to society rather than be countercultural and conform to Jesus Christ. That's what this conference is about. So, again, I want to ask you guys again, let's get specific. What's the website again now?
Buildinglegacy.org.
Okay.
And there's a Facebook page too, like I said too, you know, keep you informed too. So,
and let's not hide the cost. What's the cost of attending the conference?
$35.
$35. Is that right? $35 and $40 at the door, I think is what it is. So we're encouraging you to get on that website and sign up now. Get an early sign up and get an early seat. Not that we reserve them, but yeah, we're going to make sure you're there. This has been a great time, guys. I want to thank you for being here because, you know, there's nothing more important right now than edifying, building men up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one way we do it in our humble way. So, Dr. David, thank you for being here. Michael, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Tony, thank you for being here. Let's all be prayerful about the conference. And we'll just ask our Blessed Mother to throw her mantle right around us as we continue on our journey. This is Deacon Jim Thornley. You listen to Holy Family Radio. We're inviting all you men to come to Building the Legacy, our conference here at CAFA Conference on March 14th. May God bless.
Been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host Deacon Jim Thorndale on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.